You're listening to SBS News.
And the rocks are falling down in Sumner, just outside Christchurch. This giant rock's just fallen on the RSA building, and you can see it's crushed the building there. And
Tuesday, the 22nd of February 2011, 12:51 p.m. A magnitude 6.3 earthquake strikes the Port Hills on the outskirts of New Zealand's second most populous city, Christchurch. In just 25 seconds, the face of the city is changed forever. Hundreds of people are injured. 185 people are killed. Bob Parker was the mayor of the city at that time.
And I could just see this great big ominous cloud of dust rising up from the city wherever I looked, and I knew that meant buildings had collapsed. And I knew from the violence of the shake that there were probably going to be injuries. We didn't know that there would be such a huge loss of life, but it seemed inevitable there would be people in pain as a result of that 25 seconds that I just experienced. And the thought of that overwhelmed me. And the thought that that there were people I loved and knew, and they were out there, and I knew it wasn't going to be good news.
Speaking at the time, residents of the city were shocked at the destruction caused by the quake. Brent Scantlebury was working as a builder in the city centre when the quake struck.
It just started when I was in the middle of the road. It was just like a sudden bang, and the power from it was just unbelievable. I fell over, and I physically couldn't get back up again. It took a long time for it to set in what had actually happened. I stood up and I looked down the street, and I could just see buildings crumbling and falling out into the street onto cars, and people running to try and get away, falling buildings collapsing on people. And just, I was just standing in the middle of the street, and they were just going down like dominoes coming up the street. I was attempting to look up to try and get away from it, but your vision's just all blurry and all over the place. I couldn't think about anything until it had stopped. The second it stopped, Then I started thinking. While it was going, your mind's basically just blank and you're just trying to get away.
An earthquake the previous September had weakened buildings and infrastructure, so the earthquake's location, shallow depth and strength caused massive damage to buildings and infrastructure. There was also significant liquefaction in the eastern suburbs, a smelly, dirty silt that wells up out of the ground and then dries like concrete. It's estimated liquefaction brought around 400,000 tonnes of silt into the city. Geologists say the peak ground acceleration was extremely high, with simultaneous vertical and horizontal ground movement, which would have been almost impossible for buildings to survive in one piece. Among the many heritage buildings to be damaged or destroyed was the city's iconic Anglican cathedral in the city centre. The Bishop of Christchurch was Canadian-born Victoria Matthews. Speaking to New Zealand's Radio Rima at the time, she said all but one of the city's Anglican churches had been damaged, some of them catastrophically. The one which survived relatively unscathed was St Peter's, which, unlike the other stone-built churches, was built of wood, which flexed in the quake but did not break. She says the buildings were not important.
It's not about buildings, it's not about bricks and mortar, it's all about people, and the people are suffering horribly. There are the people who, of course, have been killed. There are the people who are missing loved ones and they don't know where they are. There are those who have people in hospital.
115 people died in the six-storey Canterbury Television building, which not only housed the CTV studios, but also an English language school and a medical centre. It collapsed completely, with the exception of the lift shaft, and caught fire. It was the single highest death toll of any building in the city. Australia's Prime Minister at the time, Julia Gillard, pledged support, and rescue teams flew in from Australia almost immediately, among them fire crews from New South Wales who were deployed to the Pine Guinness Gould building, which had collapsed, costing a further 18 lives. But miraculously, there were still survivors. Superintendent Tom Cooper was one of the Australian team's leaders.
Our guys and girls discovered a lady that was trapped about two floors above the ground in a very precarious position. It was a protracted rescue because she was in a bad position, and the danger was that she could fall, or that some of the steel that they use in the reinforcement of the concrete could have could have injured her in some way, or in fact injured the rescuers. So it took just under 4 hours to get her out. But the rescue itself lifted our spirits, and certainly lifted the spirits of the other rescuers to find someone after that period of time in that building. It was very good.
The woman they rescued had been trapped in the building for 22 hours. Superintendent Cooper says the destruction in the city was a new experience for him.
Nothing like I've ever seen. I've seen some, devastation before, but never on this scale. To me, I've had a good look around in reconnaissance, and the whole CBD's affected. Not just the older style buildings, but houses, large buildings, that hotel. It's like nothing I've ever seen.
The then Labour Party leader, now Mayor of Auckland, Phil Goff, was on his way out of the city when the earthquake struck. He managed to hitch a ride back into the city centre to do what he could to help. Just a couple of days after the quake, he described how ordinary people were shocked, but were already looking to the future.
I was at a welfare centre yesterday, Burnside High. There was an old gentleman on his mobility scooter, and he was taking the kids for a ride around the quadrangle. And people, they were unloading a truck, and people were in there mucking in as Kiwis do and helping each other. The positive Kiwi spirit, hell, we're not going to let this beat us. We're going to get on top of it.
And Mayor Bob Parker, who led the city through two earthquakes and the subsequent recovery issues, admitted at the time that the city had changed forever. But surrounded by rubble and emergency workers, and with aftershocks continuing, he too was looking to the future.
To remember the words that this too shall pass, that there will be a day that will come when life will have returned to something like normality. It will never be the same again for any of us. That was true after the 4th of September. It's even more true now. You've got to take care of yourselves to some degree. That's part of an operation like this.
Today, Christchurch is different. Many residents moved out, and the city went from being the country's second largest city to being its third behind Wellington. Design and stabilisation work is finally underway to reinstate the Anglican Cathedral, while services are temporarily held at the so-called Cardboard Cathedral nearby. Other well-known buildings have gone, damaged beyond repair, and the government said 10,000 houses needed to be demolished, while 100,000 needed repair. 2 years later, the New Zealand government estimated the total cost of the rebuild would be up to $40 billion, while economists forecast that the New Zealand economy could take up to 100 years to fully recover. Bob Parker received a knighthood.
I just do what I do. I try to do it well. I accept that I'm riddled with normality. Got as many faults as the next person. I try to improve on those. Don't always succeed. But we're all just doing our best.
Alan Lee, SBS News.